Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham. This message is by Clive Urquhart.
Now, how many of you like receiving gifts? How many of you? We all like receiving gifts, okay? How does receiving a gift make you feel? What happens? You know, when somebody, for no reason, I mean, you know, you have birthdays, you have Christmas, and therefore there's certain things we expect to receive gifts or to give gifts and everything. But, you know, when somebody just does something for you or gives you something or blesses you in some way, what does that do in you? Okay, makes you feel loved, special. I've got those, interesting, loves. But it, what else? When somebody just does something or they bless you, and it doesn't have to be massive, does it? It could be something really, really simple. But what does that do in you? Joy. Anybody think, wow, that is so thoughtful. You know, they must have been thinking about, wow, did you just feel a bit blown away? Anybody have ever felt blown away by something that somebody's done or given you or blessed you with or whatever? Anybody feel blown away? Has anybody ever felt a bit embarrassed? You know, when somebody's given you something or done something, you feel a bit like, ooh, or you feel a bit awkward, a bit embarrassed because you think, well, I just don't deserve that. And why have they done that? And never, Tony, you've never felt embarrassed.
No, I've never felt embarrassed.
Oh, Rachel. Oh, yeah, sorry. I should have got that right the right way. Yeah. So we can be blessed, all this stuff. Okay. How many of you enjoy giving gifts? Yeah, how many of you, that's your love language. You just love giving. You're always thinking, how can I do something for that? How can I bless somebody? How can I, you don't have to put your hand up for that if you got that, your love language. But how many of you just love giving gifts to other people? Why do you give gifts to others? Why do you do it? Okay, you want to show love, appreciation, anything else? You want to bless them. You want to encourage them. You might even want to meet a need. You know, you might see something in someone's life, think, I could meet that need and I could help them. Sometimes we just want to give because we want to meet that need. How many of you have ever had a gift that has just totally surprised you, blown you away? You think, wow. And maybe there's some things in your life now where you've been blessed or somebody's given you something or something that you're still living in the good of that now. You're still like, wow. That gift or whatever it was is still a blessing in your life today. How many of you look at other people and you look at them and go, wow, what a gift they are? Do you ever look at someone and you say, man, what a gift they are to us, to me, to who we are or whatever, right? Because gifts can be given, but they come from the heart of someone. And we just want to look this morning at the gift that keeps on giving. So Advent, what does the word Advent mean? It means the coming of Christ into the world. It means the coming of the gift of God into the world. Now, I'm going to read you quite a few scriptures this morning because I really believe God wants us to remind us of the gift of who he is in our lives and what that means for us. Because what's the first thing you do when somebody gives you a gift? Right. So you're like, oh, thank you so much. And a gift always is reciprocated with thanksgiving. And so I'm going to read some things. And I want us just to be, you don't have to shout out your thanks. You can do if you want, feel completely free. But in your own heart and response, just to, as you're listening to just some scripture from the Old Testament and the New, it's like, Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the gift. And different things in here of the way that he is a gift to us. Okay, so the gift that was to come was prophesied in Isaiah 9 around 734 BC, okay? I love the way that God speaks. Often God speaks, sometimes way before something happens. And sometimes God speaks just before something's going to happen. He speaks that which is not as though it were. So often we have to hear first before we see it. That's faith. We hear And then we see it afterwards. So let's have a look. Isaiah 9, verse 6. You're going to know a lot of these scriptures. If you want, you can close your eyes and just listen to this. You don't have to. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Wisdom of God. He will be called Mighty God, the Power of God. He will be called Everlasting Father, the Eternal One that you have relationship with, and the Prince of Peace. He is salvation, your salvation. The gift was also prophesied in Isaiah 52 and 53, and this was around 700 BC. This is the gift we're going to speak about now. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors, as you and I. Jesus, we thank you that you are the gift that was prophesied in Isaiah, that was to come. We thank you that you took, when you came, the affliction, the total destruction of what sin does in our lives. You've forgiven us and healed us from the inside. You've made us into new people, new creations, as your word says. Those that are now alive in you because of the gift of who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank him, especially if you know Jesus this morning, you're not the same person you used to be. Just thank him that you're a totally new person. He doesn't fix us. He makes us a new person. The old has gone. The new has come. Thank you, Jesus. What else does it say about the gift? Luke 2, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people." I love what Jen said at the beginning. She said it was like God broke through, you know, when the angels were declaring these words right now, and then the whole company of heavenly hosts joined in. It was like God breaking through, you know, forgiveness for sin, healing of sickness, deliverance from the enemy, and all the things that he came to break through with. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace, salvation, deliverance to men on whom his favor rests. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Thank you, Jesus. Love broke through that day. A love that gives. A love that keeps on giving and is continually giving now. A love that gives that eternal life. So one of the gifts that he gives is eternal life. Part of that gift is to be forgiven of our sin. Luke 4, 17 to 19, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, to Jesus. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me." This is the gift, to proclaim the good news to the poor. "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind." This is the gift being given, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The gift. Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death. The penalty of sin is going to be death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Jesus, the gift at the Passover meal with the disciples before he was about to be betrayed and hung on the cross, Jesus took the bread that represents him. He gave thanks and he gave it to them. It's like he's saying, what's about to take place? As I break the bread and give it to you, what's about to take place is me giving myself to you as the gift. This is why I came. This is why I was born. This is why I totally submitted to the Father. This is why I was baptized with the Spirit on that day when I was baptized, knowing that I couldn't do the ministry the Father had called me to without the power of the Spirit. And it's led to this moment right now that's about to take place. This is why I came, to give myself. This is my body given for you. do this in remembrance of me. Remember the gift. Remember who I am. Then he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave them the cup. Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave yourself. You allowed your blood to be shed. Everything from the garden when you were weeping right through to the cross, disfigured and marred beyond recognition, as it says in Isaiah 52. You weren't even recognizable. We couldn't even see. So who is that guy on the cross? He was so disfigured, if you just walked up to it, the question was, so who is that guy? I don't recognize him. He looks an absolute mess. Thank you, Jesus, that as the gift, you took everything that mars and disfigures us, and you became marred and disfigured so that we could be completely healed and made whole in you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Don't let the enemy tell you you're a mess, you're a wreck. He's a liar. Look at what Jesus has done. Look at who he's made us. Look at who we are before him as his children, as sons and daughters of God. Wow. It's like the Father saying, see who you are, how I see you. You're a new creation. You're one of my children. You doing okay out there? The blood speaks. This is a summary of the few weeks ago when we were looking at the blood that morning. This is a summary. The blood speaks of the sacrifice that he became by taking the punishment that we deserved, cleansing us of every sin so that we could be forgiven and healed. This then gives us access into his presence because he has made us acceptable in him. This victory that he has won over sin and sickness, death and hell and the enemy gives us liberty and freedom because we now belong to him as one of his children. Living in the power of the covenant life that he made with us through the cross because he has made us holy and blameless in his sight. To reign with him both now and forevermore. Anybody excited this morning? Or is this just like, isn't he amazing? His loving kindness leads us to repentance, but his loving kindness is just beyond measure. We don't deserve any of it, but he is the gift that keeps on giving. Ephesians 1 says that he lavishes his grace upon us with all wisdom and understanding. He knew what he was doing. So we're the beneficiaries. We stand in awe. We stand amazed. We must never let this just become the fag end of our lives. Or the tip of our hat to the Lord. That we just stay in awe, amazed at who he is, what he's done, who we are now in him. Keeps us full of thanksgiving. Keeps us from getting into sin. Keeps us from being distracted. Keeps us focused on him, being fully thankful. Wow, Jesus, I want to stay in awe of who you are, what you've done, what you went through, all that that meant and who I am now as a result. Matthew 10 verse 8 says, freely you have received, freely give. It's interesting, that is in a certain context. Matthew chapter 9, just a few verses before, he says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Sounds like the Great Commission there, right? When he saw the crowds, this is really important. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion. The word compassion there means taking action to help alleviate someone that is in distress and suffering. Compassion's not just an emotion. That's sympathy. Sympathy is an emotion. Compassion is an action. We're not called to, we need to sympathize, but we're called to be compassionate, because compassion is helping to alleviate people from distress and suffering. So Jesus saw the crowds and he had this compassion to alleviate them from distress and suffering, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said, so here's the gift that is already giving to others, already healing, setting people free. And in that moment, he's saying to those around him, hey guys, the harvest is plentiful. Look around you, look around you. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. This is why, this is what this week is all about. It's what Christmas is all about. It's not about just a baby being born and a few festivities. This is about the Savior of the world interrupting the world with his salvation to come to do what only he could do. But then is this. The gift that is not only at work in us in terms of what we receive, but it's the gift that is at work within us as to who he wants, how he wants to work through us. Our lives are never meant to be the dead end, the cul-de-sac, the end point. Our life is a conduit. A place where God comes in and then God comes through. And that's what he's saying to these guys. Hey, you've seen me do a lot. I've shown you how to love. I've shown you how to be reach out. I've shown you lots of stuff. Now it's your turn. What does he do next? The gift gathers some of these guys together. And the next, it goes into chapter 10 now. Obviously, this is just without chapters when Jesus was doing this. He gathered the 12. He's the gift and the gift gives. He gathered the 12 and he gave them something. He then gave them what they needed to do what he had been doing. And he gave them authority to do what? To drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Wow, that's a challenge. Challenge to our faith. In the same way that he gave them, he's given us. So we are, if you know Jesus in here, which is probably most of us this morning, we're believers. How many of you are believers this morning? You're a believer. You are. I mean, you're a believer. You believe. We have not seen God, but we believe he's real, right? We've not seen him, but we know he's in us. You believe. What does Jesus say about moving mountains? He said, you just need faith as small as a mustard seed to be able to move mountains. You have that mustard seed in you already because you're a believer. You believe he is God. You believe he is in you. You believe you've been forgiven. You believe who you are in Christ. You believe, you believe, you believe, you believe. Don't let the enemy say you haven't got any faith. But how much faith do you need? You don't need a lot. for a lot to happen. Somebody said to me a few weeks ago, I've got weak faith. I haven't got great faith like you for things. And I said, how do you measure that? How do you measure whether you have weak faith or great faith? I said, because the measure Jesus said is you, if you've got faith as small as a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain and it has to move. So I said, how do you measure whether you've got great faith or not? I said, do you believe in God? Yeah. Do you believe that he's in you? Yeah. I said, you have faith then. So you have faith as small as a mustard seed then. If that's what faith is, you believe in God. You believe who he is. You believe what he can do, right? Yeah. Well, you can move mountains then. Right, right, right. Because faith is not a feeling. Do I feel great? Do I feel like I've got great faith? Actually, often when faith really works is when you feel like, well, I'm not really... We know faith is a conviction. You know, God speaks and you know, thank you, Jesus. Because faith enables you to receive. You believe and you receive, right? And so faith enables you to... When God speaks to you and you know you've heard something, you go, yeah, 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 right. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. That's it. And no matter what somebody else says, because you're convinced, because God's still small voice in your life is more powerful than the noise of everybody else's words and the circumstances. So what did he do here? He got them, he gave them authority, and he said, right, guys, go and proclaim, verse 7 of chapter 10, go and proclaim the message. The kingdom of heaven has come, is near. Now, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. This is where it then says, freely you have received, freely give. So God has given you and me, us, authority. Now, how many of you know when you've got authority, authority is not expressed through shouting. Authority is not expressed through how loud you can be. Authority is not expressed by trying to convince someone you have authority by the way you're speaking or doing something. You know, when you have authority, it's like, well, I've got authority. Where you work, for example, you know the authority you have, what you're allowed to do and what you're now, what decisions you can make and those decisions you have to check out before you make them. You know the authority you have. In your home, you know the authority you have to make decisions about things. When you know you have something, you don't try and convince other people you've got something, because you just know, well, I have it, whether they like it or not, whether they agree with me or not, or whether they know or not, I have whatever it is. And faith says, God has given me authority. Why? Because I am a believer, because I am a child of God, because I am an heir with Christ, because his word says that he gives me authority. That authority then releases power. Without authority, you have no power. Again, in your workplace, if you don't have any authority to make decisions, you can't exercise any power to see something happen or a decision made. Same in your, you know, in the kingdom. So we have this authority that then releases God's power. Authority is connected with submission. So who are you submitted to? Because you can't exercise authority, someone else's authority, if they've not given you that authority. And if you're not submitted to their authority, you can't exercise that. Are you there? Simple stuff, isn't it? And so we're called to live submitted to the King, so that we live, we know we have authority. But how much authority we exercise and release is down to how much we submit to him. And as we live submitted to him, we exercise that authority. And then what happens? Stuff happens. God works around our lives. Now we're gonna just take a few moments to. God's gonna do some stuff this morning. Some of you guys are gonna get healed in different ways. Other things are gonna happen, and it's not gonna be from the front. It's gonna be because you guys are seeing that happen through you in other people's lives for one another. Is that all right? Five of you. Anybody else? Just want to encourage you. A friend of ours contacted us earlier in the week who lives in another country. I'm not sure if she's connecting online this morning. If you are, great to have you with us. She contacted us and said, hey, can you call me and pray with me? And so I said, yeah. And so I called her and she said, I was connecting in a few weeks ago in the morning that was about the blood of Jesus. And she said, I've just been thanking the Lord for the power of the blood in my life. And she said, I've been told that I've got to have some fluid on my brain drained. And it's going to be a little bit of a sort of operation and what's involved in that. And they've said to me, because of that, there's certain things I won't be able to do going forward in my life and everything. And there's some other fluid that I have in my base of my spine and my back, and it's causing other issues, and I need to have something done with that and everything. And she said, I don't want to have this operation, and I don't want to be in problems, you know, in terms of agility and everything. And I said, what do you want me to agree with you about? And she said, I want you to agree that because of the power of the blood, that all the fluid will go. So I'm like, right, okay, we'll agree together, right, for the fluid to go, and for your back also that to change. So we just, on the phone, we just exalted the Lord for a few moments, and we said, Jesus, we thank you that you're the healer. We thank you that you know how this body should work. And we just took authority over the fluid, and we commanded it to drain away and to dissipate out of her body. And she texted me yesterday, and she said, this is yesterday, Saturday, yeah. She said, this morning I went to the doctors and they basically checked me out and they said, you don't need an operation on your brain. You don't need any. And he asked her about her back, and she explained whatever difference has happened in her back. And he said, you don't need anything done to your back either then, if that's how you are. And but come, let me know in a month's time how you're doing. Get in touch with me. Let me know how you're doing. And she just wrote me this long text, and it had, you know, when you text people sometimes, how many claps, cheers, raising hands, thank you, Jesus, smiles and everything else, explosions, you know, and all of that go on in people's texts. And it was like that. It was like, thank you, Jesus, la, 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 all this stuff. The power of the blood and what it's done in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. On that phone call, we weren't getting excited. There was no shouting. There was no in the name of Jesus or anything like that. Because when we do that sort of thing, we're putting our faith in the way that we're saying the name of Jesus, right? It all sounds good when somebody does it. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, well, they're anointed, aren't they, when they pray? No, they're putting their faith in the way they're saying Jesus. Another apology for people who stand on platforms like myself, and we can do things in certain ways, and some of those things are not helpful for people, because it makes it look like if you don't do certain things in certain ways, then you're not going to get certain results. And that sort of stuff has disempowered the body of Christ. It's disempowered believers, because it looks like, oh, yeah, look at that guy. Look at that woman. Wow, amazing. Oh, you know, I could never be like that. Well, Father, forgive people like me who do things in certain ways that actually undermine what you want to do through the body, because what we have exampled is whatever that disempowers people. I don't know about you guys, but when I read the Bible, when I read the Gospels, I don't know what you, I like reading the Gospels. And And you watch Chosen, right? The Chosen. Anybody watch The Chosen? Please, you know, no, it's not 100% like whatever, but don't write it off and say, well, you know, I don't like that, the way they've portrayed that or whatever. Just get over yourself a little bit. But just watch some of the... For me, it's not... It's the way the guy plays Jesus, the compassion, the love, the... And it just brings alive stories in the Bible, okay? And you watch them, and the way that he doesn't spend 45 minutes trying to see someone healed, praying in tongues and whatever. Sometimes he just bends down and touches the person. He smiles at them. Or he just speaks, be healed. Or go, your faith has made you well. You know, it's like, why? Because the authority's there. He's just releasing the power in that moment. He's seeing the Father heal. So he's not trying to have to conjure up healing. Do you know what I mean? He's seeing the Father. I only do the things I see him doing. So he sees the Father healing. And so he's just like, right, okay, Father, what are you doing? And the Father's saying, I'm just speaking. All right, I'll just speak. And he sees the Father laying hands, touching someone, you know, whatever on the head. I'll just do that then. Or whatever Jesus did, he's like, okay, Father, I'll just do that. He's like, Holy Spirit, would you enable us to be like that? We're not trying to, right, it's our turn now. I've got to heal people. Oh, my word, what am I going to do? I wish I hadn't come this morning. Should have just watched the stream. Right? But you haven't got to do it. You're a believer. You got faith the size of a mustard seed. You have. You've got it. It's in you. You've been given authority. And now we're going to see that authority released. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Some of you are going to receive. Some of you need to receive. Some of you... you might need to say to the Lord, Father, I ask you to forgive me that I haven't believed that you want to do this in my life. That you, on one level, your mind knows, yeah, well, of course, God doesn't want me sick or unwell. But in your heart, you're like, but I'm not sure if I can receive or not. I don't know if I can actually, God will do it. And if that's you this morning in any way, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, whatever's going on, if that's you this morning, just say, Father, I just want to give you all the unbelief, all the fear, the doubt, the worry, any way in which I've thought, I don't know if the Lord wants to do this, or yes, he could do it for others, but I don't know if he's going to do it for me. Just give him all of that stuff. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me. And on that cross, you took everything with you that could steal, kill, and destroy from my life. And I thank you for faith, as small as a mustard seed, that is in me right now. And in that mustard seed of faith is enough to receive all that you want to give in these next few minutes through my brothers and sisters around me. Father, I thank you that each of us has a mustard seed of faith to be able to see you work through us. So the gift is not just at work in us, but it's also going to work through us. The gift, the one who is the giver of life. So, Jesus, we thank you for your healing grace. We take authority over infirmities right now, cycles of sickness. We break those off of people's lives. We take authority over symptoms, aches, pains, problems, issues, physically, mentally, emotionally. We command those things to leave people's lives in the next few minutes. We speak healing over bodies, over minds, over emotions. We speak healing in the name of Jesus. Over in the next few minutes, we thank you for people being set free in different ways. We thank you, Father. We praise your name. Amen. Now, just if you get into groups of three or four, okay, just turn around, find people. You can come out your rows if you want. Just get into groups of three or four. That means you'll need to turn around or move. Just get with two or three other people. And And if you need to, say hi. If you've never met them, just say, hi, my name's so-and-so. Don't give them your life story. Just say what your name is if you've never met them. And what I want you to do, okay, is you're going to find out, does anybody in your group need to receive any healing? Okay, now you're going to ask that, or you can put, some people are sticking their hands up in their groups, you know. But what I want you to do, I don't just say yes, and what it might be. I've got a heart condition or pain in my neck. But you know what I mean? I've got whatever it is. But don't say, well, this happened and that happened and la, la, la. You don't need the story in this moment, okay? Just say, yeah. But what I want you to do, I want you to say to the people what you believe God's going to do in this moment, okay? Now, I want you to be honest with the people in your group. Honesty is always the best policy to receive. And you might have some pains because of certain things going on in your body, for example. And you're like, I'm not sure if I can believe that everything's just going to go in this moment. But I can believe that the pain's going to go down. If that's where you are at this moment, just say that, okay? And then pray and thank the Lord. I'll explain how to pray in a minute. And then see what God begins to do. And as the pain begins to go down, that'll encourage your faith. And then it's like, well, if the pain's going down, let's pray again and see the rest of it go. Amen. Because your faith can be encouraged like that in these moments. If you have something, you know, you can move your body around to find out whether the pain's gone or something's changed. I want to encourage you, when people are praying for you, move around, okay? Don't just stand there. If you've got, say, a pain in your back, don't just stand there and go, focus on the pain. Is it gone yet? Is it gone yet? Is it gone yet? You know, just as people are praying for you, you want to receive, and you can stand there with your hands out or hands down, however you want to stand there. But just be thankful for what God's doing. But just begin to move, because often it's when you respond that suddenly something gets released in your body, okay? There's that part of it. If you're on medication, you keep taking that medication, okay, and go and get checked by the doctors, even if you know something's changed in my body. God can overtake the medication that's at work in your body. But go and get checked out by the doctor. Okay, now, we're not praying long, long prayers either. Don't pray like this. Say somebody in your group's called Mary and she's got a back problem. Don't say, Father, I thank you for Mary. Thank you that you love her. She's an amazing lady. What a woman of prayer she is. I just love her so much. She's awesome. She's amazing. Jesus, I thank you that you love her and you want to heal her and you want to bless her and you want to do that. We haven't got time for that, okay? And Jesus didn't do that either. So what we want to do is just simply, if it's blokes lay hands on blokes, women lay hands on women, okay, in this moment, okay? You don't even have to lay hands on people either. But just in this next few minutes, if somebody's got a challenge in their body, it's like, thank you, Jesus, for your healing grace. We just take authority over this sickness and we command you to go right now. And we speak healing. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Just something simple like that, okay? Something simple. And then say to them, how are you doing? Now, sometimes people are receiving and they are in a little bit of a, you know, God is doing something. You can tell they're receiving. So don't just keep praying loads of things. Give them space to receive. But also ask, how are you? How are you doing? Is your arm all right? Is your leg all right? Is the pain gone or whatever? Okay, that type of thing. Is that all right?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.